Ooh-hi-yee.
Ooh-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Ooh-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Ooh-hi-yee.
Ooh-hi-yee.
Ooh-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Ooh-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Pray to your Christ that you will all be saved.
Chuck E. Weiss is the coolest cat in Los Angeles. Hollywood hotshots say it all the time. He's entertained the biggest stars of screen and song for almost three decades with music he calls discombobulated jive. After playing in a club called The Central every Monday night for 12 years, Weiss encouraged actor Johnny Depp to buy the place. In 1993, it was renamed The Viper Room, and it's still one of LA's hottest night spots. Now, if you live east of San Bernardino, you may not have heard of Chuck E. Weiss, but chances are you've heard his name. In 1979, Ricky Lee Jones had a hit song about him.
Don't you know Chuck E. is in love?
Chuck E. now has a new CD of his own. Old Souls and Wolf Tickets is the culmination of a long and storied career that began behind a drum kit.
Can't stop the beat, you gotta let it roll on.
Chuck E. Weiss, I have to ask you, you say this, so I'm gonna quote you. How did a skinny white Jewish kid from Denver, Colorado end up playing the drums with Lightnin' Hopkins?
Well, I lucked out. He used to come to town in that club that I played at, the Ebbets Field Club. So when he came to town without a band one time, they asked me if I'd drum with him. And I jumped at the chance. And so it was very difficult to play drums with him because he stops at odd times. He made musical stops at odd times in the songs. And I knew the stops, so that kind of put me in with him right away. And he schooled me pretty good and took me on the road every now and then.
Hmm. Did that contribute to your approach to music? Because there is a rhythm that's not easily identifiable. good, because you don't get in a box. But you know what I'm saying? There's kind of in many of your songs, there's this rolling rhythm to it.
Well, I don't know if it's because of that, but I mean, I'm sure that had something to do with it, because naturally, that wasn't my first experience with that kind of rhythm. Actually, my father used to play me those kinds of records when I was like 2 and 3 years old.
Did he play music or did he just play records?
No, he just played records. My mom played the piano.
Were the drums your first instrument, your instrument of first choice? Yeah.
They bought me a used kit when I was like 10 years old because I was... every time I'd hear a record or something I liked, I'd start rolling around on the ground like a crazy man and start pounding. I'm still pretty pedestrian with the way I play, but you know, I certainly wasn't disciplined enough to take up the piano at that point.
One of the tunes on the new CD, Old Souls, mm-hmm. the anthem for Old Souls, begins with this toy piano
mm-hmm.
that is so melancholic and kind of that waltz rhythm
mm-hmm.
you got going. Are you? It sounds like you're singing about the guys like Lightnin' Hopkins and other folks that you've known.
Oh, sure. I had a lot of dear hearts in mind when I wrote that song.
Tell all the old souls there's an anthem for them. I'd stand by their sides if I could fairly well.
It's a toy piano in the beginning, and I was trying to get a sample of an ice cream truck, but I couldn't find one, so there was a little toy piano there. And the piano player said, let's try this. And it was perfect.
Down the Road a Piece begins with a different kind of piano, this remarkable stride piano that Sonnyland Slim is playing. And that's Willie Dixon singing and playing bass, and Carrie Bell on harp, and you.
I'd sure like to latch on some of that cat music. Yeah, that's what I need. Some of that fast Dixie fried boogie.
This is a recording from 1970. How was it that you ended up doing this session?
Well, I was friends with those guys through a nightclub in Boulder. One time when they came into town, I said, well, I had access to a recording studio. I said, let's go do some stuff. And in 1976, I gave the masters to a record company, and they released a couple of the songs, and then lost the masters. So I thought, oh man, this is a shame, because you know, all those guys, some of those guys were on their last leg, you know, and just for posterity, I needed to have that. And like last year, I was going through a waterlogged group of tapes that I had. I took it to a studio just hoping maybe I could just hear it. And it was perfect.
Really?
It was perfect. And so I transferred it to CD, and I sent it to my record company just so they could hear it, not having any idea that the president of the record company, George Howard, would want to include one of these cuts on the album. He suggested it.
Really?
And I thought, you know, I said, well, that, yeah, I guess that would fit in. I don't know. Maybe it would sound good, you know?
Even though you've been doing this for 30 years, you've managed to avoid the, I think it was Joni Mitchell lyric, the star-making machinery. It's interesting, though, that something that can be small and intimate can be discovered, and it becomes hip to be hip, and then all of a sudden it's not small anymore.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
In the event that would happen to me, I think I have the wisdom to be able to ward off the evil doers. to ward off the evil spirits.
That's interesting, calling them evil spirits.
Well, I don't. Maybe I'm a little harsh. In all seriousness, yeah. I look at these like TV award shows where they have, you know, the entourage of musicians, and hey, I don't want to hang around with any of those people. I really don't. I don't want to be associated with them. I don't want to sound elitist either, but I think, you know, what has happened is the lowest common denominator is okay. And with me, that's not okay. You know, music's very important to me, and I don't want to deal with all that other jive, you know.
So you don't want to compromise that creativity that may or may not pay off. In terms of money, in terms of number one hits, that's
well, yeah, yeah. I don't want to compromise the creativity or take myself too seriously.
I wanna go back when things were so simple.
The falsetto voice. I mean, that high when you say,
"Oh, the piggly wiggly."
Yeah.
I wanna see that nice man at the piggly wiggly and the that hardwood squeak so proud. I want a cold, cold comes in by an open chest full of ice.
And all those nice people who know what they're doing will be
That's just kind of a song about walking into a Piggly Wiggly with a hardwood floor and a, you know, big old Coke chest with ice in it and, you know, a little radio blast. And, you know, I kind of miss having Piggly Wigglies around.
You're drumming with your fingers right there. I can't see you because you're in Los Angeles.
Oh, you can hear that?
I can hear you. And I know that, for a fact, drummers often will do this. You cannot really keep still, can you?
No. No. Oh, I didn't know you could hear that.
Oh, yeah. Do you keep a tune in your head, or are you just practicing some rudiments?
I was just trying to play to the beat of our conversation.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of beat did we have going?
Like that.
Third CD in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this doesn't feel like a nice end to a career, or is this sort of a long, slow beginning?
Well, yeah, this is a slow beginning. That's what we could call it. At least it gives me longevity that way.
Well, that's true.
I'm no flash in the pan.
Chuck E. Weiss, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
His new album is called Old Souls and Wolf Tickets. It's on the Ryko Disc label, and he joined us from Los Angeles.
It don't happen overnight. No, it don't happen overnight. Well, it don't happen.